Morning. Today's daf in Pesach and Sadi Tess. We have Yitzchus to finish the ninth parak of the Masechta this morning and begin the tenth and final parak of the Masechta. Let's begin. We are in the Mishnah on Sadi Chesam and Beis. We stopped a little bit before the end of the Mishnah with the word Shnayim Shenitzarvu. This Mishnah, extraordinarily long Mishnah that covers almost the entirety of Sadi Chesam and Beis. So the Mishnah dealt with two scenarios, one which we covered yesterday and the other one which we're about to cover right now. The one scenario that we covered yesterday was what happens in the event that the Chabura has lost their Karban Pesach. They send one of the members of the Chabura to go and search it. The Mishnah goes through a number of different permutations in which you find the lost Karban Pesach, the remaining group replaced the Karban Pesach, each one of them shecht the Karban Pesach, and under certain circumstances, he's going to join them, they're going to join him, neither can join each other. All the different permutations that the Mishnah went through, and the factors are really twofold. One is whether or not which one of them was shechted first, meaning sequence. And the other factor was what kind of communication was made between the two of them as he was parting ways in his search and rescue mission. Good. So that was the mission that we covered yesterday. And now we're still in the Mishnah, and we're going to the second part of the Mishnah and the second series of circumstances in this Mishnah. And it is about eight lines from the bottom of the Amud Shnayim. Shem shenisarvu pitzchem zeh, moshech lo echad, v'zeh moshech lo echad. So let's say you had two people and they had a tyrovis. The Karban Pesach got mixed up. So you had two people walking to Yerushalayim, each one of them having a Karban Pesach, and now the Karban Pesach got mixed up and you don't know which one's which. So now what you're going to do is as follows. So you're going to take one of them, obviously, you have to take one of them. But of course, here's the problem. The problem is you don't know if the one that you took is actually yours. Now, if it's not yours, so then you are eating a Karban Pesach that you're not registered for. So what do you do now? So under those circumstances. So I made a small mistake, and now I realize the mistake that I made. I started a little bit too late in the Mishnah. We're going to go back up. I was wondering to myself, this is already an involved scenario. We got to start off simple. Okay, so we're going to back it up just a little bit in the Mishnah, Shtei Chaburos. It's going to be the same case. It's just that we're starting off where you had two groups. And it's so funny. I marked off the spot. Okay. Anyway, Shtei Chaburos and Nesarvu Pitzchayim. So you have two groups that lost, their Karban Pesach got mixed up one with the other. Sorry. The Pesach didn't get lost. They just simply got intermingled. So Eilam Moshchen Lehen Echad ve'Eilam Moshchen Lehen Echad. So again, we'll start off with step one. Step one is that each group now is going to take a Karban Pesach. But again, the problem now is that you don't know if the Karban Pesach that you took actually was yours. And so you may be eating, the entire group may be eating a Karban Pesach that they're not registered for. So what do you do now? So Echem Eilu Ba'alo Eitzel Eilu, Ve'echem Eilu Ba'alo Eitzel Eilu. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to do a couple of trades. Our group is going to take one of your guys, meaning he's going to withdraw from your group and join our group. And your group is going to take one of our guys. The kach heim omrim. Now this is what they're going to say. In other words, we'll make it tonight. So im shalanu hu haPesach hazeh. So if the Karban Pesach now that we took happens to be ours, so then yadecha meshucha meshachal v'nim nesar shalanu. So what you'll do is that you'll simply withdraw from your group and you join our group. However, im shalchal hu haPesach hazeh. But if the Karban Pesach that we ended up taking ended up with your group's Karban Pesach, so then, Yadenu Mishchos Mishalanu, so then we're going to withdraw from our Karban Pesach, V'nim Ninu Al Shalcha, and we'll just simply join you and your Karban Pesach. Okay, so, with this tonight, now we have both possibilities covered. The possibility that the Karban Pesach is ours, the possibility that the Karban Pesach belong to the other group. Now that we drafted somebody from the other team onto our team, with this tonight, so we have it covered. V'chein chamesh chaburos achimisha chamisha v'shel asara asara moshchen lahem echad mikol chabur v'chabur v'chein heim omrim. And you could do this not just with two groups, but you could do this with five groups, and you could do this with 10 groups as well. Assuming that each one of the five groups has five people, so then what we're going to do is that we're going to simply distribute. Four members of our group are going to be joining four other groups, and the other four groups are going to do likewise. Now you're going to have an opportunity, a possibility of every group being represented by each one of the groups, and you're going to make a tanai. A tanai, of course, five times over for each one of the groups. Okay, admittedly, by the way, it's a complex outcome, but the fundamentals of the case is basically a tanai. With the tanai, we can now cover the possibilities of this Karban Pesach may belong to me, it may belong to you, but with the tanai, you have everything covered. good. That's the first part of the Mishnah. I'll say it's easy. That part admittedly is not easy, but it's certainly easier than the case we're about to encounter. Okay. Now here in this scenario, we just have two people. Now the difference here is that we only have two people. Meaning, for whatever reason, one person is bringing Karban Pesach, he does not have a group. Another person is bringing Karban Pesach, he too does not have a group. So we have now two people, two Karban Pesachs, Tarovis, and the two Karban Pesachs get mixed up. So now what are we going to do? The problem, of course, is that we don't have a team. And so who can I collect from your side? Who can you collect from my side? We don't have a team. So what do we do under those circumstances? So what we're going to have to do now is that we're going to have to first and foremost assemble a team. I'm going to take a person from the street. You'll take a person from the street. And Zebai Itzol Zeb is Zebai Itzol Zeb. And now what we're going to do is as follows. Like now we're going to go back to what we did in the previous Mishnah. And that is that now each one of them now is going to swap to the other side. The Kachei Mamrim. So now, I know you were on the other team, but now in the event that the Karban Pesach that I ended up taking was mine to begin with, so then what you're going to do is you're going to simply withdraw registration from the other Karban Pesach and you'll join mine. And if the Karban Pesach that I ended up taking belonged to the other person, so fine, you were registered with this Karban Pesach, admittedly after the Tarovis occurred. But what I'll do now is I'll just simply, I'll withdraw from my Karban Pesach and, Yadiv, im shachahu Pesach ze, Yadim shachos mishaliv and im nesach shachah, and I'll just simply join yours. Okay, so this case over here becomes more complicated because what we have to do first is that first and foremost, after the Tarovis, we have to actually get somebody else. Each one of us has to get somebody else, and then we'll trade sides, and then what we'll do is what we did previously, and that is we'll make it tonight. Okay, so we're going to come back to that in just a moment. As you can see, the Amud Aleph today, really short. The Gemara has just a couple of quick points to make, although admittedly they're not that simple, but there are a couple of quick points to make. The first point the Gemara wants to make, Tanu Rabbanan, with a Braisa that we start with on the Gemara, we're three lines from the bottom of Sadi Chesem and Beis. Amr lahem ba'amr lo, ochel min rishon lo, amr lahem below amr lo, einam achraim ze lazeh. So, we are going back to the Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah that we covered yesterday, in that you had a lost Karban Pesach, one, you had a rescuer, you had the remaining of the group, and as I pointed out, without going back into yesterday's daf with all that detail, really a big factor is, what did they say to one another as they were parting ways with each other? And if they said, if the remaining party said to the search and rescue guy, look, we want to join you, or if he says to them, look, if I delay, I want to join you, so then there's going to be limitations in what they can eat. However, if nobody says anything to anybody, so the Mishnah says, Einan achraim ze al ze. They have no responsibility to one another, and therefore everyone would be in a position that they can eat Karban Pesach. Assuming that the rescuer has found and located his carbon, shechted his, and assuming that the remaining group found the replacement and shechted there, so then everyone can eat it. What comes out from the Mishnah is that by saying nothing actually works to the advantage then each one of them stipulating what would happen if you do find, what happens if you don't find, what happens if I delay. So being quiet actually is better. And the Gemara now, Mikanam Ruchachamim Yafashtika Lachachamim Kavachomer Litipshim. So the Braisa wants to use this as an occasion to teach us a little bit of Musar. Notably, it's good to be quiet. And in our Mishnah, we're talking about Chachamim. Obviously, we're talking about Chachamim. People who are bringing Karban Pesach, people who are knowledgeable in the halacha, understanding registration, and the ramifications of what happens when, in fact, if in fact, you find the lost Karban Pesach versus getting a replacement. And obviously, there are a lot of moving parts in the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, it comes out now that it's better to be quiet than to make any kind of stipulations. So, if that's true regarding Chacham and Kavacham Latifshin, if silence is the golden rule for people who are Chachamim, it's certainly going to be the golden rule for people who are not knowledgeable. Shenamar, the Pasuk of Mishlei says, Evel Mecharish Chacham Yechashev. Somebody who's foolish but he's quiet, people are going to think that he's a Chacham. Okay. So the first part of the Gemara, just a simple point of Musa regarding the significance and the importance of being quiet and being silent. We have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says it explicitly. Okay, we have a number of Ma'amar Chazal that talk about the significance and the importance of keeping quiet and really measuring the amount of words that we say. Shaim Shein Esav V'Pitzchayim. The Mishnah went on to describe, now we're the second half of the Mishnah, and we're talking about the Tarovis, and we're talking now about two people who have lost a Karban Pesach, meaning the first case of the Mishnah were the two groups who, I did not mean lost. The two groups who had the Karban Pesach intermingled one with the other. That was the first part of the Mishnah. And again, what we're simply going to do is that we'll take one of their team members, they'll take one of our team members, and a Tanai. And I know I'm making it sound simple. It's not super simple, but that's the solution over there. The next case of the Mishnah, however, is not that simple, because right now it's only one person per Karban Pesach. Now there was a Tarovis. They got mixed up together. So what do you do? So now we're going to have to draft players from the market. And then and only then can we swap out. So Mafsisin Loka Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now points out that this method, this solution that was given to us in the Mishnah, is not following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya will enter Braisa. V'im yimata abayis miyos misem lamichim em'atim v'ochim uvavach yei echa mimnei chabura kiyam divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so you can do the registration withdrawal, and you can have people coming and going in the chabur. Remember, when does everything get locked in? So we already discussed this earlier. That's the time of Shechita. Okay, but up until that point in time, so you can have an entire change of the team. However, according to Rav Yehuda, there must be one anchor. There must be one person who was one of the original members of this chabura. And according to Rav Yehuda, if you do not have one of the original members of the chabura, so the whole thing falls apart. That sheets Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yossi, Omer Rav Avashi, lo yinichenu es ha-pesach kamo shehu. Rav Yossi says, no, you can have team members coming in and out and in and out. You can have an entirely new team by the end of the day. The only thing you cannot have, according to Rav Yossi, is that you cannot have a moment in time where nobody is registered over this Karban Pesach. So there must be at least one point in time where somebody's registered over the Karban Pesach. But when all said and done, when the day's over, you don't need any of the original members to be attached to this Karban Pesach. Good. So that's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Seemingly, they're all darshaning out from the word v'im yim'at habayis, which means that if the number of people in the group are small, and the simple pshat in the Torah there is that what you should do is you should get another family to join you in your Karban Pesach so that everyone will be eating the Karban Pesach and there won't be any noser left over. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk, and how each one of them generate their conclusion based on that pasuk, the Gemara doesn't really explore over here. But anyway, but the point is that according to Rav Yehuda, you need original member. Now, in our Mishnah, in the case of the two people with the two Karban Pesachs, so because of the fact that the Karban Pesachs got mixed up, you could be, meaning if you go through this scenario where I'm going to take a guy from the market, he's going to take a guy from the market, we'll swap out guys, but it could very well be that the new members of this Karban Pesach are not any one of the originals, because the originals really only are the first two. Those are the originals. And now that I took my Karban Pesach and you took your Karban Pesach, and again, we're going to take another player, and then we're going to swap them, and then we're going to make the Tanai, but they don't really count now as originals. They're not originals. They only came on board after the swap. So who are the originals? There are only two members who are originals. And from those two members, it could end up very well being that one of them, each one of them, I should say, does not have their Karban Pesach from the beginning. And therefore, you're not satisfying the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so it could very well be that our Mishnah is not subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, which in this particular case wouldn't be so bad because the Bar Pilk of Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yossi, and typically we do follow the sheet of Rabbi Yossi over that of Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda. But this is how the Gemara classically works, and that is, let's see if we can fit Rabbi Yehuda into our Mishnah. And let's try to do that, because came into Amar Rabbi Yehuda, because let's take another sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we learned about a week ago, a little over a week ago, which is in Shochtan as the Pesach al Hayachid. You do not shecht the Karban Pesach for one individual. Rav Yehuda Shita is that you need a group minimum two in order to shecht Karban Pesach over it. he arrives at that conclusion by darshaning a pasuk. Again, you go back to the Gemara in Sadi Aleph, you'll see that it's not the pasuk pshat of the pasuk, but anyway, a drasha by Rav Yehuda. So therefore, since according to Rav Yehuda, you are not allowed to shech Karban Pesach as an individual, mi'ikara li'imnuye achrina ba'adai kai, ukechad b'nei chamur adami. So the Gemara over here, really creative answer. The Gemara says, look, since according to the Shita Rav Yehuda, you by definition need more than one, so therefore when you were one register over that Karban Pesach, so because the halacha demands that you need to get another person on board, so therefore that second person that you get later, halacha views him as if he was always a member of your group. So he is considered an original member, since the halacha demands that you take on a new member, so therefore halacha is going to say that that he was always considered an original member of the group. And therefore, when we swap out the people, so since he's viewed as an original, so now each Karban Pesach has an original member. And so therefore, it would work out according to the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Am Rabbi Ashi Masnis Nami Deke Diktani V'chein Chamesh Chaburas Shel Chamisha Chamisha. So now, Rav Ashi says, look, I think that we're not just trying to force Rebbe Yehuda's pshat into the Mishnah. Rav Ashi says, I really think that it's a simple reading of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says you could do this for a group of five, meaning let's say you have five groups, each one having five people, and you could do it for 10, meaning in each group has 10 people, etc., etc. So, Shel Chamisha Ina V'al Shel Chamisha V'Arba'a Lo. Now, the Mishnah over here says that you could do it with five groups, provided that each one of the five groups has five people. And the Mishnah is very clear about that point, meaning, why couldn't you do it where each one of the five groups has five people, except for one of the groups has four people? So, Lav Mishum De Lo Paish Chad Mi Bnei Chabur Gabei Shma Mina. Because if any one of the groups has anything less than five people, meaning you have five groups, then any one of the groups has four people, so then when every one of the groups is going to be taking on a new member, it's going to turn out that group of four is not going to have any of the originals. And the Mishnah obviously is stating that you need a member of the original. That's why the number is five, so that one person could stay on in this group because you need an original member. Okay. So a simple reading of the Mishnah, I don't know how simple it is, but a simple reading of the Mishnah would indicate that a Mishnah is even going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Hadron alach mishaya tamei yuslikolam pesach sheni. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the ninth parak, and now we begin the tenth parak. We have the schus now of starting the tenth parak of the Masechta, and it's one that we may have a little bit more familiarity with. This is now taking us to the Seder night, and we're going to go through the Seder. We're going to go through the Seder of the Seder. So the Mishnayos over here take us sequentially throughout the night, starting at the beginning of the Seder, and carries us through with the Dalakosos, with that which happens over every one of the Dalakosos. And so good. And in terms of timing, it couldn't work out any better. Right? Pesach is now on the horizon. We are Shoshim Yam and Kodem Lechag. Purim is now just in our rear view mirror. So in terms of timing, it just honestly could not come out any better. And so good. And needless to say, it's going to be extraordinarily convenient when people have to make siyumim on Erev Pesach. And lo and behold, the Daf Yomi is going to be finished with Pesachim. Okay, it's exciting. Anyway, let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Arvei Pesachim Samech Lemencha Lo Yechol Adam Asher Techshach. So the Mishnah records over here that on Erev Pesach, as we are approaching Mincha, a person should not eat until nightfall. And the Mishnah's point over here is that basically what you want to do is that you don't want to ruin your appetite. You want to make sure that by the time you get to the evening, so you have some appetite, because you're going to be doing a little bit of eating that evening. The way we do it, a lot of eating that evening. And so therefore, you want to make some room in your stomach, and therefore, a rabbinic ban from eating that afternoon, so that we'll have a room in our stomach. A couple of points over here that need definition, and that is Samech L'Mincha. So Mincha over here, Rashi writes, is that we're describing Mincha Ketana. There's Mincha Gedol and Mincha Ketana. Mincha Gedol is the first opportunity in the afternoon that we can daven Mincha, a half an hour after Chatzos. That's Mincha Gedol. Mincha Ketana is going to be now 3.5 hours into the afternoon, 2.5 hours before sunset. Every time I say the word hour, so hopefully everyone knows, I'm talking about Shavuos Manios. They are going to be adjusted based on the day. The day, according to the Vilna Gaon, starts at sunrise, ends at sunset. Not everyone agrees to that. And so, so when you take that, when you take those minutes, divide that number by 12. So those are adjusted hours based on the length of the day. I always enjoy making it simple. So let's say, let's just deal more in the hypothetical. Day starts at 6 and ends at 6. So that means to say that Mincha Ketana is now going to be 2.5 hours before the end of the day. End of the day is 6 p.m. So 2.5 hours earlier is going to be 3:30. So at 3:30, you got to stop eating. Actually, you got to stop eating a half an hour before that. That's the point of the Mishnah. Avri Pesachim Samuch Lemincha. So the word Samuch means a little bit before, and we understand Samuch Rashi over here writes this. Samuch means a half an hour earlier, which means already at 3 p.m. you have to stop eating. That is the point of the Mishnah. I should have said this before we started the Mishnah, but it's certainly not too late. So you'll notice over here that we have a lot of real estate on the page that's taken up by Meforshim. Tosfos on the outside of the, on the Amud, as we traditionally do. And on the inside margin, so what do we have? So we have what seems to be a Rashi, and then below the Rashi, we have definitively what is a Rashbam. Rashbam is the grandson of Rashi, one of the older grandchildren of Rashi. The Rashbam actually learned with his grandfather Rashi. So why is he writing a commentary to this Masechta? So a couple times throughout Shas, we're going to find the Rashbam writing a Perush on Gemara, and sometimes fully supplanting that of Rashi, sometimes coming alongside Rashi and the Gemara. What it definitely tells us is the following. Is that the Rashi commentary that we have in our daf over here is one of two options. Either it's Rashi, but just simply has not gone through the traditional editing that Rashi normally takes his perush through, meaning he had a number of maduras, he had a number of editions of Rashi where he edited, re-edited, re-edited until we get a polished and finished version, which is covering most of Shas. And over here, it's just simply a raw, unedited version. The Rashbam, therefore, felt the need to go ahead and to write a commentary like that of his grandfather. And that's one possibility. The other possibility is that we simply don't have Rashi. We lack Rashi on this. And the Rashbam, in the absence of Rashi, is now writing a commentary. Now, I'm not saying which one is right, because quite frankly, I'm not sure which one is correct, but those are the two possibilities. In the yeshivas, traditionally, it's the Rashbam which is being learned over here. You can see stylistically, you can just simply leaf through the pages over here and see stylistically that the Rashbam is not at all like his grandfather in the way he explains the Gemara, in that his grandfather was terse and really to the point. And the Rashbam over here has a longer style of writing. Just his exposition is just longer. And so therefore, a lot of real estate is covered. So that means that for the 10th paragraph over here, it's going to be over 20 blot of Gemara. So for the 10th paragraph over here, there's not a lot of words on the Amud, but there's going to be a lot of commentary due to the fact that the Rashbam is included in the daf, and the Rashbam writes in a longer style. Okay, good. Now with that stated, let's go back to our Mishnah. So on Erev Pesach, as we approach Mincha, so a person should not eat until it gets evening. Ad shetach shach, until it gets evening. So the Rashbam writes over here, so again, I'm going to be quoting mostly from the Rashbam. So the Rashbam writes over here that we're talking about Mincha Ketana, as we already said, and Kol Mincha is a Chatzi Sha'a. So that means to say that already at 3 o'clock, so one has to stop eating in order to develop an appetite. Next Rashbam over here, much discussed. Lo Yochel Adam, the Rashbam writes, Kedish Yochel Matzah Shal Mitzvah L'Teyavon. So then when you get to the matzah that evening, you're going to eat it with an appetite. Mishum Hider Mitzvah. As a result of Hider Mitzvah, so that you are going to be eating it not without excitement and enthusiasm, but with excitement and with enthusiasm. And the Rashbam over here describes that as Hider Mitzvah. Okay, much discussed topic, which I'll just touch on. And that is the idea that Hider Mitzvah typically is understood to beautify the item, the object, right? Torah Na'at, Tzitzis Na'at, Tefillah Na'at. The idea over here that we're talking about a maisa mitzvah, an action of a mitzvah being beautified. So that's a chiddush that's obviously being reported to us by the Rashbam over here. Good, that's a much discussed issue. One of those larger questions which just something to be sensitive to is the idea that the Mishnah over here obviously giving us a description of what a standard Seder looks like. A standard Seder with a Karban Pesach. Well, it certainly seems to be that way. We'll see the later Mishnayos that we're talking about we're going to be talking about the Karban Pesach. But keep in mind, however, that the Mishnah over here, edited by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, is at least 100 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, over 100 years after the second destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's describing a Seder with Korban Pesach, meaning as if there was a Beis HaMikdash. So by the writing of this Mishnah, there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash for over 100 years. So it's going to be clear from the Mishnayos, from the upcoming Mishnayos, that we're talking about a Seder with Korban Pesach, but it's certainly interesting that the Mishnayos were written well afterwards. And Rashi over here, the Rashbam, by the way, Rashi also says the same thing, but the Rashbam over here is focusing on the matzah as opposed to the Korban Pesach. But the Rashbam could just simply be looking at Pesach at his day, meaning where at that point in time, now you're 1,000 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, more than 1,000. And so therefore, the only thing really to talk about in terms of the Achila is the matzah. Okay, anyway, historical note, let's move on. Afil Anisha B'Yisrael, continuing in the Mishnah, even if you are a poor person, so lo yochal ad she'yaseh, but you should not be eating until you recline. Reclining is the position of regal of kings, and so therefore there is another legislation in terms of our posture on Pesach that we should be eating in the state of a seba. About a week from now, here in this parak, so we're going to be talking about a seba in much greater detail. So we'll wait. The Mishnah's point, however, is simply that it doesn't matter what class you're in, what economic class you find yourself in, you must recline. You're going to need 4 cups of wine for this evening. And even if you're collecting from the tamchui, Rashi over here goes at length. The Rashbam. Sorry. I'm going to focus primarily on the Rashbam. The Rashbam over here discusses with some detail this idea of the tamchui. If you're going to the tamchui, it means that you're really poor. Right? There are two different types of soup kitchens, if you will. And the tamchui is anisha ba'aniyim. It's somebody who is in a real state of poverty. And so one might consider for him to go ahead and to take 4 cups of wine. So why should he do that? He can't afford a basic meal. And he should be taking four cups of wine from the funds. So for Pesach, the answer is yes. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Meaning that this requirement of 4 cups of wine is so important and so significant that even an Anisha B'Yisrael should be collecting, even though he's collecting from the Tamchui, which means that he's Anisha B'Aniyim, still should be taking 4 cups of wine. Okay, at this point in time, let's just pause for a moment and let's cover some of the more basic issues that is discussed over here. Number one, the Mishnah over here tells us that there are going to be 4 cups of wine. It's something we all know, and this idea that for the Seder night there's going to be drinking 4 cups of wine. But here's the part that becomes really interesting, and that is the Mishnah never explains why we have 4 cups of wine. And not only does the Mishnah never explain, the Gemara never explains. In fact, the only thing we're going to see in the Gemara later in this parak is the Gemara being bothered with the number 4. Because 4 is an even number, and the Gemara is going to talk later on about the problems, the struggles of if even numbers. And if you don't know what I'm making reference to, that's fine. Just stay with us, and later in the parak you'll understand. But there is never an explanation given in Talmud Bavli, neither in the Mishnah nor in the Gemara, in terms of what the significance of the number 4 is. Why do we have 4 cups of wine at the Seder night? So you ask anybody, right, someone who has a Jewish education, you ask anybody why? Dal Lashon Hashem Geula, right, that comes from the Gemara. It does not come from the Gemara, or I should say better, it doesn't come from the Talmud Bavli. So the Talmud itself never here provides an explanation as to why. You look at the Rashbam over here, the Rashbam quotes a medrash, right? He quotes Breishis Rabba, right? Rav Huna b'shem Rabba Abba Amar Keneged Arba Lashoni Geula. It's the end of the Rashbam Dibra Masav V'lo Yifchusu Lo, and he says that it corresponds to the Dal Lashon Lashon Geula Hamur Megalus Mitzrayim V'otzitzi V'galti V'lakachti V'itzalti Parshas Va'era. Open up the Chumash to the beginning of Parshas Va'era. Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe have a one-on-one after Moshe really had an unsuccessful trip into Mitzrayim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu assures Moshe, I'm going to take him out. And Kadosh Baruch Hu uses 4 Lashonos Shel Geula, 4 different languages. And it's interesting, by the way, that the Rashbam over here, I did not look up the Medrash inside. Apologies. But the Rashbam over here quotes the Psukim out of order. Anyway, but the point is that there are Dal Lashonos Shel Geula, so to remember the 4 different Lashonos of Geula, so therefore we have 4 cups of wine. I highly recommend taking a look at the Parish of the Netziv in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, where he goes into much greater detail regarding the significance of the Dalash on Ashur Geula, why it manifests in four cups of wine, meaning, okay, it's a, it really helps elucidate exactly why four different languages of Geula necessitate four cups of wine. I'm not going to go through it right now, but anyway, I highly recommend. Lo yochel adam. So that's already, that's point number one. And parenthetically, by the way, the Yushami does spend time also giving various reasons why we have four cups of wine. And the Yushami, this part's not popularly known. Excuse me. But the Yushami gives a slew of other explanations in terms of why specifically four cups of wine. Okay. And then I have my own theories, but that's certainly not for now. Anyway, let's go to Tosfos over here. Now, Tosfos over here, we're going to find very often that Tosfos over here acts like his typical self, but he also acts as a parish on the Gemara. So Tosfos also basically is covering for the fact that there is an absence of Rashi or an edited version of Rashi, and you're going to find very often that Tosfos just simply gives a running parish of the Gemara in addition to his typical style of analyzing one Gemara against another Gemara, answering, etc., etc. So look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. So he says, "Lo yochel adam perish afilu hispalel," even if he daven mincha. Meaning, what Tosfos is alluding to over here is the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos that describes how if you haven't daven mincha yet, you shouldn't engage in a meal and run the risk of forgetting mincha. Over here, Tosfos says this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with developing an appetite. Umishematzah kedam in the Gemara, the below hispalel tefilas mincha afilu b'shar yemos hashana. Also, Shabbos. Good. So over here he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, and he says that this is not the same issue as the Gemara over there in Shabbos. This is about developing an appetite. The Im Tomar, okay, much discussed topic. Tosfos over here brings it up. Umalo yochal. So the Mishnah says, and you know what? And don't eat. Well, what are we not eating post 3 p.m. So we can't be talking about matzah. The ban, the rabbinic ban of not eating after 3 o'clock can't be going on matzah, because we already know that for the entire Erev Pesach, there is a rabbinic prohibition of eating matzah. Tosfos over here quotes the Yerushalmi. You're not going to find this in the Bavli. But Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that somebody eating matzah on Erev Pesach is like somebody having relations with a Zerusa. Zerusa is a married woman, but only undergoing the first stage of marriage. And so therefore, relations with ones with an Arus and Arusa is rabbinically banned. And doing so is just basically, it's premature. Meaning you wait for the Nisuin and then the husband's intimate with the wife, but not prior to that point in time. Same thing over here, eating the matzah. It is a strange analogy. I'm going to be honest with everyone over here. The analogy gets stranger because a number of Rishonim, not the conventional ones, but a number of Rishonim try to line up that there is Sheva Brachos by the time we get to the matzah. Meaning if you go through the Seder and you count up the number of Brachos, so you're going to find that there actually are seven Brachos that are made prior to matzah. Okay, how to count the seven Brachos, but anyway, some people take this analogy, some Rishonim take the analogy a little bit further than what the Yerushalmi does. Anyway, but the point is that you're not eating matzah after 3 o'clock. You're not eating matzah at any time on Erev Pesach. Ve'ibe mina targima ha amar b'gemara ava metabahu b'mina targima. Now, are you talking about snacking, light snacking? Light snacking you're allowed to do after 3 o'clock. The Gemara later on, about a week from now, we're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara is totally fine with light snacking after 3 o'clock. So, the prohibition can't be covering matzah because matzah already is prohibited. And the prohibition can't be covering light snacking because light snacking is acceptable after 3 o'clock. So v'yeshomer da'ari b'matzah shira de lo aser b'yushami ela b'matzah ru'u yelatzis b'chova v'ochla korim zmana ava matzah shira sharya. So Tosfos over here says that the ban is going on matzah shira. Matzah shira, rich matzah. Obviously, rich matzah is not viewed as chametz. We discussed this much earlier in the Masechta, in terms of what's the status of matzah, and said that instead of using water as your liquid, rather you're using a fruit juice, or you're using eggs. So that is what in halachas refers to as matzah shira. So you can eat that on Pesach, but you can't fulfill your obligation with the matzah that you're eating on the Seder night. The matzah on the Seder night has to be lechem oni. It's got to be water, in only water as your liquid in the matzah. And so therefore, the ban is going on matzah shira. That's Tosfos' conclusion. And then what gets exciting about this Tosfos is the last four words of the Tosfos. And this is the practice of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam would make sure that he would eat the matzah ashira. Now, that is really interesting. What is Tosfos making reference to? Meaning Rabbeinu Tam would go out of his way, or I should say better, Rabbeinu Tam would make sure not to eat the Matzah Shira from 3 o'clock onward. Meaning Rabbeinu Tam made it a point every Erev Pesach to go ahead and eat Matzah Shira? And Rabbeinu Tam made sure to stop eating at 3 p.m.? Meaning, how about this? How about just not eating any matzah whatsoever? Not lechemoni matzah, not matzah shira matzah. So what does Tosfos mean over here? So presumably, not perfectly clear, but presumably what Tosfos is making reference to is what happens when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. That's happening this year. So Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, so you're going to have now a dilemma. We're all going to have a dilemma in terms of how to create Shal Shudas, where you're not allowed to eat matzah. Chametz is prohibited already 2 hours before Chatzos. So how are you going to be eating Shal Shudas? What are you eating in the afternoon that's going to qualify as Shal Shudas? And so probably, but we don't know this for sure, but probably what Tosfos over here means is that Rabbeinu Tam would be eating Matzah Shira. Because Matzah Shira you can eat until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Shal Shudas dilemma is not a dilemma because you'll just simply have Matzah Shira sometime in the early afternoon, an Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. That's what Tosfos could mean over there. And again, that's an exciting topic. And finally, well, actually, not finally, I'm sorry, two more points, and then we'll just quickly wrap up the Gemara. And that is the Tosfos Achetachshach. This is an exciting Tosfos making for a really large discussion. Tosfos writes over here, Makshina Namaitzrech Achetachshach Pshita. The Mishnah says that you gotta stop eating by 3 p.m., And you can't eat until nightfall. Now, that is obvious, as Tosfos, because, of course, the whole reason why we have stopped eating is because we're going to not eat again until we eat the matzah. And also this expression of achetachshach. So we're going to see a brisa coming up in the Gemara and talking about our need to stop eating on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, and it doesn't use the word achetachshach. Why is Achetachshach added over here? So the Omer Harimi Korbil deGabe Matzah Dafke Beinan Achetachshach Kedetani B'Tosefta A Pesach Matzah Marer Mitzvasa Mishetachshach V'Tamei Mishem Dichtiv Achlus Abasa B'Layla Zeh Ma Umatzah Marer Itkeshula Pesach. So one of the Balei Tosfos says, look, here's the story: the Karm Pesach has to be eaten at night, cannot be eaten any earlier, and Matzah Marer have to be eaten in conjunction with the Karm Pesach, which means they have to be eaten at night. But here we get to now a major discussion, and that is when it comes to Shabbos and Yontov, you don't have to wait till night to eat your Shabbos meal. You want to start your first Seuda before nightfall, you could do so. Now we're all used to this idea. It's called making early Shabbos. So over here, Tosfos says that on a typical Shabbos, on a typical Yontov, that's not Erev Pesach. That's fine. That'd be totally fine. Kedama beber kfilas hashachar. This takes us back to a gemara in brachos and daf chav zayin. Mesbala adam shol Shabbos beer Shabbos vaomer kiddush yomi baod yom. So what you'll do is you'll simply say kiddush a little bit earlier, meaning that you'll introduce Shabbos a little bit earlier. You'll say kiddush a little bit earlier, and that's fine. And presumably this is because of Tosefes Shabbos. And a major discussion to be had in terms of how to look at Tosefes Shabbos, how to analyze Tosefes Shabbos, how to understand it. And the Tosfos says over here that the words Achetachshach in our Mishnah as it relates to Pesach is because there is the Tosefes Shabbos on Erev Pesach is not going to be helpful because there's a special requirement that you have to wait until nightfall to eat the Karm Pesach and the Matzah Marer that comes in conjunction with it. Okay. So this Tosfos over here is really the one of the primary sources that discusses Tosefes Shabbos. Okay, and one more point over here, and that is one more major point, I should say, and that is the third to last Tosfos on the Amud Dibur HaMaskal Lo Yifchesu Lo Me'arba Kosos, and Tosfos over here sits on a really fundamental question. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah told us that there's a requirement to have Dala Kosos, so that at the Seder night you're going to sit down, and even if you can't afford it, and even though you're going to collections. You're going to the Gabbai for money for the Seder, you're going to get the money for Dala Kosos. And so Tosfos over here asks a really fundamental question, and without going through the Tosfos inside, you could see that he literally goes back and forth on this issue. And he bounces back and forth between one of two possibilities. Either number one is that the Dala Kosos is only a mitzvah on the Balabais, meaning everyone sitting there at the table is going to watch the Balabais drink Dala Kosos, and their performance of the mitzvah of Dal Kosos will be just simply sitting there at the Seder and having the Baal Bais drink the Dal Kosos on behalf of everybody. That's one possibility. Tosfos says, you know, we do that by Kiddush. Yes, people taste from the Kiddush cup, but that's not required. You don't have to drink from the Kiddush cup. Meaning you could be Yotzei Zayin with Kiddush simply by the Baal Bais making Kiddush. Tosfos says maybe the same thing is true by Dal Kosos. Alternatively, Tosfos says maybe that's not true. Maybe by Dal Kosos it's a requirement for every single member at the table to have Dal Kosos. And Tosfos literally goes back and forth on this, being unsure as to whether or not the mitzvah Dal Kosos is just for the Baal Bais or is it for every member. You could see at the very end of the Tosfos, V'nir la'achmer la'atzer chayba kosos, l'chol echad, v'amach v'tzarech lizar sh'lo yeh kosam pagum, damar b'gmara, tamo pagmo. Okay, the last point, by the way, I don't want to go into right now. But anyway, but Tosfos says, look, I'm not sure. And Tosfos at the end just capitulates and says, well, we'll be machmir and have every member. But he says, but maker din, I'm not sure if that's correct. So a basic question on Tosfos, in terms of whether or not Dal Kosos is just for the Baal Bais or for every member. Now, right, one who has gone through a Seder their whole life, you think to yourself, it's obvious. Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious to us because we all do it that way. But if you think about it from a fundamental standpoint, right, Tosfos starts off by saying maybe it's just for the Baal Bais. Okay. And what's the machlokas within Tosfos? Again, that's a shir within itself. But these are just some of the most basic points that I'm highlighting over here. And now let's start with the Gemara. We're at the beginning of the Gemara on Sadi Testament base, immediately after the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says it's such a big deal. You got to stop eating on Erev Pesach. And the Gemara's question over here is, what's the big deal? Erev Pesach, you got to stop eating. So the Gemara says, newsflash: it's true by every Yontav and every Shabbos. The Tanya, we learned in the Brisa. So Shitas Rav Yehuda is that every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif, you got to stop eating by the time Mincha Ketana rolls around. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, now Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not necessary. So on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, Rabbi Yossi is not recommending it, but if you want to eat later in the afternoon, you can do so. Right? An hour before sunset, and a half an hour before sunset, right, you can eat until the evening, and that's fine according to Rav Yossi. Again, Rav Yossi is not recommending it, but it's certainly allowed. So, our Mishnah, if you subscribe to Rav Yossi, so our Mishnah, of course, makes all the sense in the world. Meaning, in contrast to every other Yontav and every other Shabbos, so on Pesach, you gotta stop eating early. So good, so if our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi, it's fine, but if our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, so then it's very difficult. So the Gemara is gonna give two answers. I'm Rav Huna lo tzricha, el Rav Yossi. So Rav Huna says, good. So the easiest way to explain it is our Mishnah subscribing to Rav Yossi, right? This is now, it's funny because typically people learn this perek in independent of the previous perek, but now in the Daf Yomi, so we had back-to-back scenario situations in which a Mishnah seemingly is not going like Rav Yehuda, but rather going like Rav Yossi, right? They go back to the beginning of today's Daf. Right, we saw that the Gemara assumed that our Mishnah, meaning at the end of the ninth parak, is going like Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And obviously, a totally different issue. So, in the very same daf, the same thing just happened. Rav Huna says that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So, let's start again. Amar Rav Huna lo tzrich el Rav Yossi, da amar ochel v'holech ad shetechshach. So, hani mi lebar v'shabbat v'yamin tovim v'aber v'pesach mishum chiyu v'damatza modeh. So, yes, Rav Yossi says that normally you're allowed to eat all the way late into the afternoon on a typical Erev Shabbos and a typical Erev Yontav, but when it comes to Erev Pesach, so then you have to stop eating three. Why? Because chiyuv de matzah, because of the obligation of eating matzah. Right? The Gemara doesn't say it as strongly as the Rashbam said. The Rashbam says there's a hidur matzah element involved. And because of the hidur matzah, the hidur mitzvah, so therefore you got to stop. You got to stop eating even earlier. Okay, good. So that is one approach. Rav Papa says, no, I feel the same Rav Yehuda. No, we can even say that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda because Hasan Rav Shabbos was v'yamim tovim min amincha lamala udaser samach lamincha sharei. Yeah, there is a subtle difference between Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontav versus Erev Pesach. If you look carefully at the sheet of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says that you stop eating at mincha. Now this is a detail, but this detail can create a distinction. And that is that typically you stop eating at 3:30. That's when Mincha Katana begins. On Erev Pesach, you got to stop eating at 3. Samach l'mincha. Ah, so that's a difference. Okay, admittedly, a half an hour difference, but still, it's a difference. So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos Samach l'mincha shari v'atanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't think you're right. The Gemara is going to now quote a brisa, where in this brisa, it's going to seem pretty clear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you got to stop eating on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, Samach l'mincha. Let's see the brisa together. V'atanya lo yechol adam b'erev Shabbos v'yamem tovim miteisha shavus l'malak k'deishi yikadus l'shabbos kishu tava div Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yosi omer ochiv aholech hachetechshach. So this brisa that we just quoted is nearly verbatim the previous brisa, but with, of course, the notable difference that the brisa says over here, miteisha shavus ulamala, meaning already at 3 o'clock, in other words, I'm converting from the end of teisha shavus, to what it would mean to you and I, and again, assuming that we're talking about a perfect day where the day starts at 6 and ends at 6. So basically, the brisa says you got to stop eating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, now, Amram Marzucha man lema lan de meteratztehi dilma meshabeshtehi. So Marzucha says, okay, I know you just quoted a brisa, and I know the brisa says you got to stop eating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and so therefore we lose now the answer of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says maybe the difference is 3 versus 3:30, but this brisa tells us that you stop eating at 3 o'clock even on a typical Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontov. Now, I know the brisa is not helping our cause right now, but Marzucha says, can't we say that the brisa is a corrupted brisa? So, Amalei Marema, Vitei Merev Yema, Ana Yiklal Lepirka Derav Pinchas, Berei Derav Ami, Vikam Tana Vitini, Kamei Vikible Minei. And he says, no, I had the brisa verified. Right, he says, I went to the shir of Rav Pinchas, a Tana got up. Tana over here means an Amor who's saying over Brisas. Said over this Brisa in front of Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas gave it his approbation. The Brisa checks out, it's a verified Brisa. So now we have the Brisa that says that according to Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, you have to stop eating even on a typical Erev Shabbos and a typical Erev Pesach. I'm sorry. On a typical Erev Shabbos and a typical Erev Yontif, you gotta stop eating at 3. Now there really is no difference, according to Rav Yehuda, between Erev Yontif, Erev Shabbos versus Erev Pesach. So now the answer of Papa, basically we lose that half an hour difference. So the Gemara says, okay, good. And so now, in terms of answering up, so really, the only way to propose the answer is to say that our Mishnah is actually following the Shita of Rav Yossi, not the Shita of Rav Yehuda, which was Rav Huna's answer, which the Gemara ends up conceding. That really is the best way to say it. So that means to say that according to Rav Yossi, on a typical Erev Shabbos, on a typical Erev Yontif, mamish, you can eat the whole afternoon. You're going to ruin your appetite. Okay, good. Like I said, we're not supporting it. We're not endorsing it, but meikar adin, you can eat the whole afternoon. And then an Erev Pesach, because there's a mitzvah to eat matzah that night, so you have to stop eating already at 3 o'clock. That's, and our mishnah is going like the sheet of Rav Yossi. And good. And that's a great way now to see the difference between an Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach versus, an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov versus Erev Pesach. Good. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the daf. And let's quickly recap. We finished the ninth parak of the Masechta. We spoke out the cases where I had two chaburs with each one of them having the Karm Pesach got mixed up one with the other. So what do you do? What do you do in order to ensure that your group, when you take back your Karm Pesach, not knowing whether it's yours or the other groups, how can you make sure that you're eating a Karm Pesach that you're registered over? Swap out players, make a condition, admittedly a little bit complicated. The Mishnah also describes that we're going to do the same thing, even if it's one person bringing Karm Pesach and the other person also bring Karm Pesach, and now they got the Karm Pesach got switched. So again, what are you going to do over here? So yeah, here you have to draft outside players, then swap them, then make a Tanai. Okay, it's even a little bit more complicated. The Gemara made two observations to finish off the parak. One is that in the first case of the Mishnah where you lost your Karm Pesach, it's advantageous not to make any kind of conditions, stipulations, the remaining group and the one looking for the Karm Pesach, and shtika and the power of being quiet. And the Gemara says it's true for Chachamim, it's only true for Tipshim. And the second point the Gemara makes is on the latter half of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah describes how we are going to be swapping. We're going to first draft players, and then we're going to swap players in the last case of the Mishnah. And it's very possible now that we're not going to have any original members of the Karban Pesach. And isn't that against the sheet of Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara tries to explain that our Mishnah could even be going like the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the ninth parak. Then we started the tenth parak this morning of Maseches Pesachim in the tenth parak. So we went over the basic halacha that you have to stop eating in the afternoon and you need 4 cups of wine and you have to do a seba. The 3 points of the Mishnah. And the Gemara's discussion of you have to stop eating in the afternoon. I don't understand. You have to stop eating on a typical Erev Shabbos and a typical Erev Yontif according to the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yossi happens not to agree. But if you subscribe to Rav Yehuda, so why is our Mishnah saying that Erev Pesach is so special? So what the Gemara attempted to do is say, well, maybe there's a subtle difference between Erev Pesach and Erev Yontif. That was Rav Papa's answer. But the Gemara notes that it's not true. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, the Tana, you have to stop eating at 3 p.m. for not only for Erev Pesach, but for Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. And so therefore, our Mishnah that says that Pesach is special, so the Gemara concedes that the only way really to learn our Mishnah is the way Rav Huna presented it, that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says on a standard Erev Pesach, I'm sorry, on a standard Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you eat the whole afternoon. Erev Pesach, you have to stop at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we hit on 3 major topics in the Tosfos this morning. Number one, the ban of eating anything after 3 p.m. What is that ban going on? If we're talking about matzah already is banned the whole day. And if we're talking about snacking, you're allowed to snack. So what is it going on? So Tosfos introduces us to this idea of matzah ashira, which you are allowed to eat, even according to the Yerushalmi, you're allowed to eat matzah ashira. That is one major point that we covered. A second one is that you're not allowed to start your Seder until nightfall. That's the Mishnah's Achitechshach. And Tosfos over here says, yeah, that's right, because on a typical Erev Yontif, on a typical Erev Shabbos, you could start your meal earlier. And why? So predicated on the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. Good. Tosfos discusses that. And again, it's a major topic, but we just touched on the topic. And finally, the third major point that we covered in Tosfos this morning was whether or not the Dalakosos is just going to be drunk by the Balabais, or every member at the Seder is going to have Dalakosos. Tosfos vacillates on this very issue, unsure which is the correct way to look at it. Ad Kan, tomorrow in Mir Session, we pick it up on Daf Kof.